they will know that they've been playing against the famous Polkadot Blues.
Very good morning, listeners, as we begin our footy weekend in the best possible way each Saturday from 9 a.m. right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. As you pop your toast and pour your favourite brew on day 8,639, since the mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft, your perfect way to start your footy weekend is brought to you by your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, and is presented by myself, WA Blues Chairman John Allen, joined by panellist Mel Hall, who is absent today, sick. So we've got a special guest in, Michaela Allen, and Chris Brownie and David Thomason. Good morning, everyone. How are you going?
Very well, John.
Good morning, everybody, and happy 12th birthday to Ava out there.
Absolutely. And Michaela, thanks for joining us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good gal. On the menu today, as always, we review the remaining AFL round, including tips. Our special guest live interview today is Brad Cripps, father of the famous number 9, Paddy Cripps. We also are across the live, as always, to the hyphen, David Rhys-Jones for the shirt front. Who's putting their hand up for the senior side and the Blues Magoos in the VFL and upcoming WA Blues supporter event details will be read out to you guys, just so that you know when to come down to the Empire and watch the Blues with the rest of the supporters. Anything else we can fit in today right here on Breakfast with the Blues, we will squeeze in. And we thank major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Picture Framers, and the home, again, of the Carlton Football Club in WA, Empire, 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane, for their ongoing support, which allows us to bring you the program each week. So, without further ado, as always, we would normally say good morning to Mel. As I said, she's called in sick at very late notice this morning. So if you're out there, Mel, we wish you well, and look forward to seeing you back here next week. So I'm going to throw it over to DT and Brownie to give us all things AFL news. What's going on this week, boys?
Well, the first thing from last night, which came as a bit of a shock, is Brad Scott has confirmed that he will no longer coach North Melbourne, and his last game could be even this weekend.
Not trying to get a sneaky early audition into any potential other movements at other clubs there, Brownie?
I hope it's not ours, mate.
Thank you very much.
He hasn't really achieved terribly much while he's been at North, so was he fired or is he resigning? It's a tough call, but it's a mutual release, I guess.
At his best, when he had his best team in firing, when they recruited some senior stars in and everything else, he brought them to finals fairly regularly there for a while, but over 10 years you'd have to say probably the club didn't get what they expected out of him. So good luck, Scotty. Of course, we really love you.
The other thing I'm thinking of, people are already saying he's going to be replacing Bolts, but, I mean, he's never really been confronted with the situation that Bolts has, where the list has been turned over so drastically. So to say that he's better qualified to coach Carlton, I think it's a bit of a garbage story, I reckon.
And there's just been a lot of media and social media scuttlebutt about Bolts anyway, so Let's just put that to bed right now. We're back in our man.
Yep.
What else have we got, boys?
I'd like to bring up one. The AFL come out this week and said that the MRO was doing very well and they were very consistent. And I'll quote Steve Hocking here. "We think we've found consistency in the decision making." Now, I'm not sure what's consistent when they rub out the ruckman from Mitchell and Soldo with a little elbow, but they let off Ablett and Fife. So I don't know where the AFL get with their consistency. I'm not sure what you guys think.
No, they've been pretty inconsistent with their consistency.
I'm sick and tired of talking about him every week, but for a bloke like Mumford, his size, to drop two knees and a roundhouse right into a bloke and say, oh, it was actually the Carlton player's fault, that's ridiculous.
Well, Hocking said it wasn't all Mumford's fault, so I don't know who's else, but anyway, we should move on from that too.
We'll move on from that wretched negativity.
And what was a good game last night, and it was a good return by Daniel Wells in the first half of that match, but it was a real shame to see Daniel go out with looks like maybe a career-ending knee injury.
Yeah, it was. It was a real highlight.
When he went down, it looked like scenes from that Darren Cresswell of the Swans, that he was trying to push his knee back in like he had dislocated it, but I'm not sure what the reports are this morning with Daniel.
Yeah, and Collingwood just keep finding a way, don't they? And it's not like they've been dropping their foot off the pedal, but other sides are really challenging them. You know, they've got a strong midfield, and Sydney played a great game against them last night. And the highlight for me was that It was good to see Collingwood step away from the prison bars and actually, you know, with their design on their jumper for the Indigenous round. That looked fantastic. And what really stood out is just how much it looked like a Carlton jumper.
It did, didn't it?
Did anyone notice that?
Yes.
Wasn't it
yes.
special? Unfortunately, they didn't play up like us and they won the game, but, you know... Well done to them for that.
And it was interesting to see that Bryce Gibbs got dropped again. And there's a lot of talk around that it's not just on form. There's something else going on behind the scenes about Bryce. So I'd like to hear what more information we can gather about Bryce. But for a bloke with his skills to be dropped twice from a team that's not in awesome form is quite an interesting little story, I reckon.
Yeah, he Absolutely. Keeps gathering possessions. I'm not sure what's going to go there. Obviously, as you said, something else behind the scenes.
Yeah. Nicky Graham syndrome. Okay. What else we got, boys? Anything else in the AFL news?
Oh, well, I must say I've been really impressed by everyone jumping on board the Sir Doug Nicholls round. All the Indigenous jumpers look absolutely sensational, and the spirit around remembering all the great Aboriginal players over the years has been awesome. And I must say, compared to last year's, our jumper this week is absolutely sensational.
Yep. Having said that, the Saints and the Blues tomorrow, they'll walk out together. They'll do the smoking ceremony together. I'll do the ceremonies all together, and then I'll go back and run through their banners. So,
yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And they do the jumpers look great. And that's a good segue just quickly, guys. I know you guys aren't aware yet. This has only happened in the last couple of days. We did get a jumper reserved. We got assigned by the Carlton Indigenous players, and that's going to get sent over to us. And our friends at Master Picture Framers will frame that up nicely. And in the second half of the year, at one of our events, we'll definitely have that as a major raffle item. So look out for that one, Blues fans. Get down to the Empire. So anything else in AFL news? We can move on. Beautiful. So upcoming round 6 game review. We've talked about Collingwood and Sydney already. What else have we got going on there? What's the next game, boys?
Hooks and Power.
Hawks and Power. Yeah, well, last year it was a close one again down in Tassie. Hawks won by 3. I think the Hawks will win this one in a very close game.
I'm going to go for Power for Wanganeen.
Hawks for me. Michaela, what do you reckon?
Hawks.
Dogs and Roos at Marvel Stadium this afternoon. Again, last time they met, the Dogs beat the Roos by 7. I think the Dogs will win, but if it's Brad Scott's last game, you never know what will happen.
I'm going to go for North for the Cracker Brothers and for Barry Cable, the Royals legend.
I think the Doggies are going to get up on that. I think the Roos are going to be a bit shell-shocked.
Dogs.
Dogs, okay. Crows and Eagles, Adelaide Oval this afternoon. Again, normally a close game between these two. Last games have been decided either after the siren or just before it. I really don't care who wins, but I'll go for Eagles because of our draft swap pick with Adelaide.
Apparently the weather's going to be shocking, but Crows for Andrew McLeod and Eddie Betts.
I tipped the Crows this week, but I'm going to flip-flop, and I think the Eagles might get up in this one.
Eagles.
Suns and Cats Metricon this evening. Cats easy, I think, and it's good to see Gary Ablett kept his elbows to himself again last week.
Cats for the great Polly Farmer.
The Pussies.
Cats.
Tigers Bombers at Dreamtimes at the G this evening. Tigers are playing some good football without some stars, and I think they'll be a little bit too strong for the Bombers.
I'll go Tigers for Maurice Rioli.
Tigs.
Tigers.
Tomorrow, Demons Giants in the afternoon at the G. Last time Melbourne won easy. I think we ran the Giants into form and they need to have a win at the G, so I'll go the Giants.
I'm going to go Demons just because I want to say Austin Wanamere.
Giants had a good win by 94 points last week against a very good side, so they'll probably win by about 153 this week, I'd say, against Melbourne. Giants.
Giants.
Okay, Saints and Blues tomorrow afternoon at Marvel. Saints have beaten us the last 4 times we've played them, and before that we beat them 4 times in a row. So it must be our turn. It's a must win for us, or more pressure will be heaped on the club. Blues for me.
I'll take the Blues for the great Sid Jackson, who I shared a few beers with at the Exchange Hotel in Greenbushes over the years.
A very close game, this one, but I think the Blues will get up and hang in there till the last minute, because it's not over until...
Definitely Blues.
Thank you, Michaela. And last game of the round there, guys.
Yep, Dockers Lions tomorrow at Optus Stadium. Brisbane are going well and beat the Dockers last year at Optus. Lachie Neal returns a play against his old club, and I think the Lions can do it again.
I'll take Frio for South Fremantle's great Stephen Michael, who I grew up absolutely loving.
I was at the last Dockers game working at Optus Stadium and saw their horrid performance, and I like the Lions. I think they might give them a little bit of a touch-up as well.
Dockers.
All righty. DT, injury updates, mate. How are we looking this week?
Well, of course, Mark Murphy fractured a couple of ribs, and for Mumford again to be allowed off is just crazy. 2 to 3 weeks for Murph. Cunners should be available after last week. He led us on about his fitness, so I'm blacklisting him from Brekkie with the Blues. SPS, some hamstring issues during last week's game, and he's going to miss this week at least. Liam Jones is still struggling with his concussion, so he's listed as a test, but I don't think he'll even play VFL. Lockie Plowman's fractured cheekbone has been operated on, and he's on the extended bench for us today. Cade Simpson, hamstring is looking good, and he's back to full training, and he's been named. Whether he plays or not will be interesting. Tom De Koning, now 9 weeks post-knee injury. He's back to training, so he might be back in a couple of weeks. And, of course, Sam Dock and Jared Pickett's knees are indefinite.
OK. Blues news. We've got no milestones, so we'll go through the Blues news and tribunal. We've got to wrap it up pretty quick. Let's go.
Well, tribunal was Daisy Thomas, reported for swearing, $7,500 fine. Again...
They must have been cheating a lot because we were kind of behind at the time. So to be complaining that the match was caused by that, I don't know. It was a bit of a crazy call by Daisy, but anyway.
Yeah, I think they find it hard to get umpires, so yeah, I think they need to respect them.
Yeah, no. They do. I've got no issue with it. I thought the fine was a bit hefty, but I like what they're trying to do. That word again, consistency, I wish they would stick true to that if that's a bad look for the game. I think there's been a few other incidents that have been a much more horrible look for the game for parents that are considering their young kids maybe getting into football, a.k.a. Gary Ablett, Nat Fyfe, bringing in the science and the impact and everything else, garbage.
Yeah.
It looks terrible for the game. If Daisy's going to cop $7,500 for that, let's make sure that they set a precedent and give at least a week to those boys for their disgusting acts on the field, dogs.
Yeah. Agree with that one.
Thank you. Okay.
Did you want to mention the cheer squad?
Oh, yes, please. DT, can you please go straight into that? And I might have something to say about that as well.
Well, the AFL issued a please explain to the Carlton Football Club and the cheer squad due to the cheer squad apparently chanting something towards the umpires. Now, the cheer squad has said that it never occurred, so I don't know where the story came from, but cheer squads are a bit notorious at the best of times. How are you going to tell them what they can and can't say is a bit of an interesting thing.
Well, the good thing about that was they never denied the expletive that was used. They put their hand up with accountability. They disputed it. The AFL came out and said that they asked them to stop playing the drum, and they disputed it. Anyone spoke to the boys, we know, playing the drum. So there are a few anomalies there. But also, this has been going on for decades, and for the last 20 years, as an organisation has become more professional, it still goes on. Collingwood cheer squads, Carlton's, Essendon's, all the other cheer squads as well, with the expletives. Suddenly now, they're giving us a please explain. Let's get it across the board. I don't like it. Yeah. Those words being used. There's lots of kids around the cheer squads as well, so I've got no issue with that. But come on, let's get a memo across to all the clubs, to their cheer squads. What do you think, Chris?
As you said before, mate, consistency. Where is it?
They're
trying to sanitise a lot of it, but
The only consistency is in the dribble that comes out of their PR mouths most of the time, unfortunately. So let's quickly, anything else in news there? Or we're pretty good. Alrighty, let's go straight into the review from last week's game. It'll be a quick one. Let's go, Chris.
Well, what can I say but disappointed and simply outclassed. Blues were no match for a rampant Giants outfit keen to make amends from the game the week before against the Hawks. We owned the first 2 minutes of the game with Big Harry kicking the first goal. Then the nightmare began as the Giants kicked 7 goals with 15 minutes and Murph was taken to hospital after that clash with Mumford. After an almighty spray from Bolts at quarter time, you would have thought that we'd come out and try to atone for the insipid first quarter effort. Big Harry again with the first goal, then the onslaught continued as the Giants kicked a further 6 goals to lead by 74 points at half-time. Cripper was being well contained by Matt DeBoer and we were smashed in the centre and around the ground. Cruiser Fisher McKay McGovern tried hard in the third quarter and showed some sign of life, but fortunate for us, the Giants were inaccurate as they kicked a further 5 goals 5 to our 3 goals 1 to take the lead out to 90 points. Newman and Fisher continued to show some fight in the last quarter. However, we were all just waiting for the final siren to sound to end this miserable performance. An absolute disastrous display with the Giants running out 93-point winners. Goals, McKay 3 and singles to McGovern, Ed Curno, Silvani and Fisher. Best for the Blues, Newman, McKay, Fisher and McGovern. Reports, as mentioned earlier, Daisy reported for abusing a boundary umpire and fined $7,500. Injuries, Murphy with fractured ribs and Cunningham general soreness replaced by O'Brien in the selected side. The moment of the match, the first couple of minutes, the first goal, then the final siren. The three things I learnt, one, Nick Newman is our best mature age trade in a long, long time, returning from injury and clearly our best with 29 disposals and 12 rebound 50s. Two, McKay and McGovern's understanding within the forward line is growing. They combined with four goals on a day where the supply was extremely limited. And three, we must bounce back. We must show some fight, as well as pick as our best 22 and play some more matured body players in the centre to help out Cripper. And John, no heads up from Cunners that he'd be a laid out from last week's interview.
No, very professional from Cunners, wasn't it? He kept that under wraps nicely, and as he should. Great interview last week, mind you. And we wish you very well today, Cunners. I know you won't be listening, but anyone in Melbourne that is, and a lot of people do, we hope that Cunners has a great game today. That'd be fantastic. Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
What day is it?
Saturday.
Oh, that's
tomorrow, Sunday.
Fantastic. Okay, now, look, we don't have time to go to the Northern Blues review. We'll chuck it in a little bit later in the second or third segment. So what we will do is go to a break. When we come back, very special guest today, Brad Cripps, father of Paddy Cripps. We're going to have a chat with him and find out a little bit what life was like growing up in Northampton for the Extractor. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA, be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership. carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, listeners, and you are listening to Breakfast with the Blues. We hope you're enjoying the program so far. Hosted by myself, Chairman of the WA Blues, John Allen, with fellow panellists and committee members David Thomason and Chris Brownie, and our special guest today, filling in for the unwell Melanie Hall, Michaela Allen. It's a great honour now to introduce a man who is 50% responsible for the creation of our inspirational on-field leader, as we give a big Breakfast with the Blues welcome to the one and only Brad Cripps. Good morning, Brad. And, mate, thanks very much for joining us on the program today.
Yeah, good morning. A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No worries, mate. Brad, before I throw you to the lines, our panel, I'll just ask you to tell the listeners, if you could, a little bit about what life was like for Paddy growing up in Northampton, sandwiched between two brothers, big brother Daniel, little brother, no pressure here, come future Blues ruck forward Josh. what was it like for Paddy in the early days growing up in Northampton, mate?
Yeah, well, Daniel's older brother by 3 years, and Josh is 7 years his junior, so he was wedged in the middle of them, and he was obviously born in Perth on the 18th of March and in 1995, and then he grew up on the family farm in Northampton, which is 25 kilometres north of Northampton. I think they were blessed living up with the freedom of the farm. They had their motorbikes when they were little, and had their hunting, and then they played a lot of junior sport like basketball, tennis, golf, and football, of course. And they learned how to have fun, and they learned how to work. My old father always said, if you can have all the brains in the world, but if you can't work, you're no good to anybody. So
So anyway,
I think they had a blessed living on the farm was fantastic.
Fantastic. Thanks for those insights, Brad. Brad, I've got a special guest to ask you a question today. Michaela Allen, she's filling in for our regular panellist today. She's a 10-year-old member of the Carlton Football Club over here in WA. So, Michaela, you got a question for Brad, mate? Go for it.
Michaela Allen here, Brad. How are you going?
Very well, thank you, Michaela.
Paddy was recruited as an 18-year-old first rounder, number 13 overall in 2013. He was already known as being a big-bodied midfielder who was drawing comparisons to Greg Williams due to his handballing ability and creativity. How did Paddy handle the early pressure?
Yeah, he seemed to, with aplomb, actually, Michaela. It was like a gradual progression all through his junior grades. He obviously had an X factor about him. And when he did get drafted, I always remember one of his first interviews, and he said, I just want to get over to Carlton and earn the respect from my teammates. And that always stuck in my mind, that he always had the belief that that he had something special about him, which we all knew that he did, but he had that inner belief in himself as well, so, which was good. But as a junior and playing his footy, he always had this special ability to have the awareness. He seemed to have a photographic memory of the players around him, and he just seems to be able to, with those handballs and way he gets the ball out to these guys, he seems to know who is around him and where and where they're going to run. It's actually quite amazing to watch, I believe.
Good morning, Brad. It's Chris here.
G'day, Chris. How are we going?
Very well. Brad, we had the great Ken Hunter on the program a few weeks back, and it's amazing that the two greatest number nines in the club's history will undoubtedly be two West Australians. However, Patrick began at Carlton with the number 16 on his back, which was swapped for the number 9 the following year after another West Aussie, Kane Lucas, was delisted. Was this due to the Kenny Hunter factor, or did the boy always wear number 9 in his early days?
Well, he always had that number 9, and I wish we could say it was Kenny Hunter that he, wanted the number 9 off, but I think Benny Cousins had a fair bit to do with it, and from the West Coast Eagles.
Oh, did he follow the Eagles, the boy, in the early days?
Absolutely, yeah. No, we didn't know where. It's amazing where life leads you, doesn't it? And we're always West Coast Eagles fans, yes.
So he must be enjoying following Jamie over there as well, Cuts.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's amazing. The farm, Jamie's farm and our farm are next door neighbours, and then we got Daniel Chick's farm was on the other side of us. So there was three AFL footballers all in one little area called Ogilvy, actually.
Well, there you go. Go over and borrow a cup of sugar from the neighbours and talk footy. Nice work.
Yeah, it's amazing.
David Thomason here, Brad. Thanks very much for being our guest today. Mark Murphy and Matty Cruiser were what the club bet as our saviours, and they're coming to the end of their careers without much success. Paddy's the new light at the end of the tunnel. Take us inside on how he's handling the physical and mental expectations the club, fans, opponents and press are placing on him, especially considering he would probably be a walk-up Brownlow medalist if he was playing at a more successful club.
Yeah, good. It's probably a question you'd have to ask him. I don't know how he does it either, Dave. But he seems to have the ability just to focus on the important matters and doesn't dwell on the small stuff. He only worries about the matters that he can't control. He really believes in the path that the club's going. and he really focuses on what's going on inside those walls. So he doesn't take much notice of what the media's saying. They really believe, just focus on what they're doing inside those four walls of the club, which is fantastic. And, you know, you just got to remember, you know, with the midfield that we have at the moment, with like your Paddy Dows and your Sam Petrie-Seatons and your Zach Fishers and your Sam Walsh's, they're only boys. So we've got no one between 25 and 30. But these guys have got serious talent. And once they get another probably pre-season under their belt, I reckon, look out. It's going to be amazing. And, I think that we're definitely on the right direction, heading in the right direction.
Good point. And SPS is the only one out of that crop, really, that's even hit 50 games now. So, a lot of them between that 20 to 30 games. Walsh in his first season, we're looking good. These guys are showing so much promise and talent. Imagine when they've got those 50 to 80 games under their belt. It's not that far away. It's exciting, fans. Now, I'll ask you a question again. Without getting too detailed or putting too much pressure on the lad, but can you just let us know, how is Josh Graham with his footy at the moment? Is he loving it still? Is he still aspiring? What's his plans for the future, and how is he going with his footy?
Josh is going well. I can't believe how he's growing very quickly. He's 196 and still growing. He's grown 10 centimetres in the last year. Because he's growing so quickly, he's had a few problems with osteoarthritis sclavus, which is a knee problem, but he seems to have grown out of that now. And he's developing really nicely, I believe. It's up to him where he wants to go. Like, you know, if he wants to put in the work and work hard, and if he gets to 200 centimetres, God knows what might happen. But he's playing today at Aquinas at Hale. So that'll be his third game, and he's just progressing along nicely, I believe.
Would he be listening in to your dad?
Pardon?
Would he be listening in to you this morning?
Oh, I don't think so. I think he's already gone on the school bus over to Hale, so he'll be getting ready for his game, I should imagine.
It'll be a big game, Aquinas Hale.
Surely a young man's first thoughts would be to get onto the iPod and listen to Breakfast with the Blues on the Sunday morning, wouldn't it?
You would think so.
Well, he might be. I don't know.
If he is, we wish him well today in his game. And
absolutely.
Anyone else got any questions for Brad? We're actually well ahead of schedule here.
I was just wondering how physically he's actually holding up as well, because he's certainly copying a lot of physical action on the park of the shoulders and the knees and everything. Holding up okay for Paddy?
Yeah, no, he's had two good pre-seasons now. The last 2 years have been fantastic, and once you get a good pre-season under your belt, that seems to be a good foundation for the whole year. But I only spoke to him earlier this week, and he said his body feels, even after the game at GWS, which wasn't very flash, but his body felt good. So hopefully tomorrow they'll come out with a real pressure game and hopefully play the footy that we expect the team will play in the future years to come.
Great to hear. And just a quick one, Sam Doherty, what's the impact been on Paddy? They must be very close. Co-captain, Sam's a very dedicated and inspirational guy. What's their relationship like now? You know, Sam's obviously been sort of had his hand forced into adopting more of a coaching role, but probably closer to the playing group. How do Paddy and Sam work together during the week and match days? Is there much there that you know about? You can give us a little bit of an insight?
Well, they obviously get on very well. I don't know the real inner, the nuts and bolts of it all, but they get on very well together. And Sam is an amazing, amazing person, amazing leader. So, when he's up and about, hopefully we'll see him before the end of the season. He'll come back out and play again. And it'll be great when they're both on the park. I reckon it'll be awesome.
I hear Paddy's now living with another WA country lad, Fisher, in Melbourne. The two boys getting up to some serious trouble out there on the town?
Zachy Fisher they live in Kew now, which is on the other side of the city. Last year they were in Maribyrnong, which is sort of just around Flemington. They get on well, and I think they like each other's company, and we catch up with them fairly regularly when we do go over there. They get on well together.
Do they have a hit of golf, do they, Brad? Because the Kew Golf Club's lovely out that way.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they're more into basketball, actually. They okay. They like just going to the basketball courts and shooting a few hoops. And Paddy had two years ago, he had a couple of stress fractures in his back, and the golf wasn't the best thing for him. So he's just laid off the golf for a bit just to, for precautionary measures.
Slam dunks for the lower lumbars instead.
Absolutely, yeah.
We do have to wrap it up there, Brad. Mate, thanks very much for your time. On behalf of the entire WA Blues community, we do thank you very much, not only for so generously giving up your time today, but along with Kath, bearing such a talented fruit to lead our great old Dark Navy Blues now and into the future with that great number 9 on his back. And if you could ask him to make a W with his hands when he kicks a goal tomorrow, that'd be fantastic. And, mate, thanks again for your time, and go Blues.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Brad.
No worries. Thanks, Brad.
Cheers. Bye.
All right. Brad Cripps, guys. Great interview. Good little insights there on how Paddy's going and where it all started. What do you think, fellas?
The first thing I need to do is get up to that farm. If they're all that tall, mate, I need to get some of that dirt up there.
Jeez, you'd need a lot of dirt there, Ewok.
I could imagine a jump ball contest between Fisher and Paddy wouldn't exactly be a fair contest.
Yeah, no. So the Northern Blues Review, we've got a little bit of time. So very, very special treat today in the absence of Mel Hall. And again, Mel, we hope you're doing well. No, you're not feeling very well. So, Michaela, would you like to read out the Northern Blues Review for us today, matey?
The Northern Blues beat the lowly last place Frankston by 25 points last Saturday afternoon at Icon Park. Patrick Kerr, undoubtedly the star with 6 goals, with his presence, leading capacity and contested marking prowess on full display. Co-captain for the day, Darcy Lang, was the best upfield with dominant display, collecting 28 disposals. Alex Falasso showed his class up forward and all round the ground. His experience and smarts proved too much for Frankston and Contain, and he capped off a good day for him with 2 goals as well. The duo of Phillips and Lobby dominated the Rucks contests, giving our midfielder first use regularly. Cam Paulson was electric in the midfield with his pace, while Gordon and Shoemaker were outstanding in defence. And goals were Kerr 6, Pasolo 2, Lang, Paulson, Phillips 1.
Very good. Who were the best players, Mickey?
Lang, Kerr, Pasolo and Shoemaker.
Shoemaker.
Before we get ahead of ourselves, our 4 wins have come against the current bottom 4 VFL sides. When we've played good sides, we've really struggled in the VFL, so don't expect any big answers coming to our AFL issues from the Bull Ants. The VFL side is suffering due to the AFL side stealing a lot of talent as emergency players, and players like the WA Blues' own Jared Gartlett have not played for weeks, but he has been named in the VFL side this week. As Michaela mentioned, Phillips and Lobie, according to Carlton's media, dominated the ruck, but they won contests and did not much with it. Ben Silvani showed he's definitely one to watch for the future. The Bull Ants will play the curtain raiser before the Blues-Saints game Sunday at Docklands, and will take on the 9th of the ladder Sandringham Zebras.
Wasn't it good, though, to see Darcy Lang actually get the pill?
Yeah, look, he's been building nicely in the VFL. The way they're bringing these players back from injury now seems to be working really well. It would be great to see him come back in the side and have an impact in the season.
So long as he can do it again this week in the 2s.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another big game, and he will probably slot in there somewhere.
Yep. I still would be surprised if Fasola gets a call up. I mean, he kicked 2 goals, but he really hasn't been that influential. And against a team like Frankston, who are the last placed on the ladder, he should have been doing a lot more than he did.
Paddy Kerr's been a bit stiff. He's playing well, kicking goals every week. The problem is, he's our 4th best big tall, and he's putting
some serious pressure on Charlie because Charlie is not performing.
Another ordinary performance from Charlie, and another strong performance from Kerr, and we could see a shift there, whether it be Charlie going on the wing or going in the middle, or even being dropped back to the 2s for to find some form and confidence and bring Paddy in and give him a deserved chance.
I like your idea of running Charlie on the wing.
Yeah.
Get him involved in the play.
I don't think it'll help him being dropped back to the VFL.
No.
Yeah, anyway, we can differ on that one. We'll see what happens this week, shall we? Time for another break. And when we come back, of course, it is the most anticipated radio segment in Perth, Australia, in the stratosphere. The Shirt Front, we're going to hook straight into that one with the one and only, the hyphen, David Rees-Jones. We look forward to speaking to you very soon after a couple of minutes when we have a few words from our sponsors. Go Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA. Be part of Carlton's record membership as the club chases 60,000 members for the first time in its history. It is time to prove that you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria. In 2019, the region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation, and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. TechTiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
TechTiger. Proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Cold Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by myself, WA Blues Chairman John Allen, with fellow panellists and committee members Chris Brownie and David Thomason, as well as special guest Michaela Allen. As always, it's that time of the program where we dive deeper into the pond of the Blues' performance last week, review this week's game, and not without a whack or two if and where required, as we lower our lead shoulder and barrel straight into the most anticipated breakfast radio segment in Perth, Australia, and Lower Manhattan, the Shirt Front. As we do each week, a very warm welcome now goes to our great friend of the Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the only man with his very own gold leaf framed oil painting portrait of himself in Tribunal House, the hyphen, Mr. David Rees-Jones. Good morning, hyphen, and mate, any chance of you pulling on the boots this weekend?
No chance of that, but no, it wasn't. Good morning last week. That was terrible. That was probably the low point of the season, hopefully, and they've got to bounce back this week. A lot of pressure on everyone, I think.
Yeah. And, mate, look, a lot's already been said about this one, and I had the run sheet printed out a bit too early this week, but, look, it is Carlton after all. So no matter how much the hierarchy support the coach, Is Bolts just one or two more bad performances away from something having to be seen to be done to cut off the fisher's head, will that be his obituary, or is the club in different times now? Are they going to support him through to the end of the year and maybe beyond? What are your thoughts on that, mate?
Look, once again, that's for the powers to be. They're going to make those decisions, and they're going to make sure that the players are happy with the drumheads. You don't want to upset the apple cart, and two or three good young players leaving at the end of the year as well. So it's a dicey situation. Some people don't like it, but I'll tell you the thing that amazes me. We're going to paper and pretty extensive paper over and talk to Harold's son and all these people who are back at Bolton at the moment. They all think Carlton are finished on the bottom of the ladder. When they had their choices at the start of the year, too many friendlies and whatever, they think Carlton are finished on the bottom. They didn't have any faith in him and get those spectacles now. But look, a 93-point fraction, that's sort of pushing the limits. And it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. I know they had a players' meeting this week, called by the two captains, Paddy Christensen and Dan Doherty, who no catches involved. And from what I gather, there are some unconsistent people in there, and let's hope that that can inspire the guys. We've actually got a pretty good run out there this week. And, if we can finish two of the next four, then it starts to, relax.
Good morning, David. This is David Thomason. Focusing on the positives, the synergy in the forward line when it gets down there has been solid. There particularly seems to be a good understanding between Mitch McGovern and Harry McKay. However, is it time to give Charlie a run in the midfield to work on his game and maybe give Kerr, who kicked a bag for the Bull Ants last week, a go?
Well, might be fun for Charlie to have a spell in the boots. I mean, that's the other side of it. You've got to play players on form and prove that. Doesn't matter, what your ability. I mean, someone's got to make a statement. We've seen before, they've dropped Roughhead, and it hasn't seemed to affect them too much. So someone's got to make a statement that Charlie's performance is falling this week, and certainly he's got to be on a chopping block, and Kerr has to get a run. I mean, you've got to play the players who are in form.
Yeah, very, very true. Mate, Mel's chucked a sickie on us today, so... We've got your old mate Michaela in to ask you a question today. Michaela, over to you, mate.
Hey. Paddy Cripps has shaken tags before. When he is at his beastly best, three players can be seen hanging off him, and he will still get an effective handball away. Matt DeBoer is just one man, and give him credit where it is due. But it is more reflection of Paddy finally showing signs of being worn down. Not by the opposition, but by his own teammates, not stepping up and controlling games when he's being hit.
Oh, sorry, love, I did miss the first little bit of that question.
What she's just trying to ask you there, mate, is, is it more a reflection that Paddy's teammates need to step up and give him a little bit more support as opposed to Matty DeBoer having a great, which he did have a great game on him. Is it time for the other guys to really stand up and get behind their skip?
Oh, definitely. There's ways you can help. I just think moving the Cowboys sort of running into DeBoer and trying to help get Paddy Cripps out, disappointing, but we're pretty young in that midfield as well, so hopefully they can learn something by that. But we can't be a one-man team either. We can't just rely on Cripps to track the ball out week in, week out. We need to take the pressure off each other. Other players need to step up when players are down, obviously. Players are going to miss games and have poor games throughout a year. It doesn't matter how good they are, and that's just the way it is, but certainly, other players have got to step up. Paddy Cripps, he's going to miss games through injury and different thing at times, but what do we say? Well, we can't win because Paddy Cripps isn't out there. Well, that's just not good enough.
And I'm just going to, before I throw to Chris, I'll just chuck a sneaky one in here. Great coaches in the past that I've seen that throw smokies in a game, and instinctively I've thought about things when I watch this, when we're not, from why not even just do surprise them. I do things like chuck Casbolt in there for 5 minutes to just rough people up and crash into bodies and help Cooper out there. Weird things like that great coaches do.
Why didn't they put Kerno into the guts when we were struggling with big bodied players?
Yeah, the Kerno's another one I think.
Yeah,
David, it's Chris here. David, I have David, I have two questions for you this morning. Firstly, how do the boys regroup after such a soul-destroying game last Sunday and find the form they had against the Pies and Bulldogs that beat the Saints? And secondly, where is it won this week? If going by the last two games, you think it's won or lost above their shoulders? One thing, David, we got some big ins with Simo back and Ploughman back, so that should be able to help us.
And Cunners.
Oh, and Cunners. Yeah. I forgot Cunners, yep.
Absolutely, some decent ball getting fed into there, high into Macca's hands again would be fantastic. And look, mate, very winnable game against the Saints, and in fact, probably three winnable games out of the next four for us. So a nice win this week could set us up for a bit of rejuvenation, especially for the supporters. But the club, we do talk about now, whole of club. And that's very important. So where do we win the game tomorrow, Dave? Where important is talk about the forwards. Still, we got to get that midfield dominance happening, don't we?
I think they'll be on that too. Look, and Kilda's got a pretty good midfield himself, so they've got a lot of players who swing through there. And once again, they got that 3 or 4 age and experience, honestly, in that role as well. So. I don't think there'll be one help. or have not, in this case, then, you know, they can play VFL the following week. This is really a crunch game, and, you know, when they get that jumper on and pull it over their head, they get a good show. And that's where I think we'll win it. I think we'll win the game because, the guys will just be that determined, and, St Kilda aren't a great team. They're not going to play finals. So, you know, they're teams we should be, and we have been. We've been very competitive with, but we need a win this week. That W on the board is pretty important. It's critical, actually, for the club.
Absolutely. And look, we all expect us to bounce back this week and put in a performance not unlike the one against Collingwood a couple of weeks ago again. We have to do that. So we're all looking forward to a 23-point win. It's just to keep my tips alive as well this week. Mate, that's about all we have time for today. As always, mate, absolute pleasure having you on the show, and we really do appreciate your time. The supporters, as always, they're loving it. Mate, you're a big part of our show. Thanks very much, mate.
I'm hoping for a 43-point win. I don't want to be late, so...
43-point. Geez, you're thinking finals, aren't you? We've got to get the percentage up.
Knock a man in the park and go Blues. That's all I can say.
Yeah, nice work, mate. Go Blues indeed. Thanks very much.
Thanks, David.
Sounded like he was, again, deep down King Solomon's mind.
Yeah, I thought he'd have to stand on one leg or something, get the antenna up. Couldn't hear him that well.
Mildly better than last week. That's okay. Look, we'll try and get him a better sponsor and get a nice line happening through to us. I think we heard it clear enough. It was a bit better than last week. But, look, good review of the game there.
Yep.
Honest review, as always. What about our weekly whack? What's the weekly whack this week?
Oh, there's two. This is the whack to the clown from the AFL or Carlton, who made the call that our navy blue jumper clashed with the orange tsunami of the Giants and put us in our white strip. Seriously, mate, have a good hard look at yourself. Now, my main whack follows Andy Jones last week whacking the whackers. This is the crucible. After our win against the Dogs, all the supporters and media were praising our players and coaches. But after a very bad performance last week, many supporters, be it on talkback radio, social media or on the street, had a massive meltdown, calling for the heads of the Prez, Mark Lagudashay, for Judd, Soss, for list management and, of course, for Bolts. And it's a disgrace. Take a chill pill, everybody. You don't make change just for the sake of making change. Media blokes like Ruse and Carrow can sit there and say fire them all, but never offer up better solutions. Why would you fire Soss when he's done a hell of a lot better than his predecessors? I don't want a president like Eddie Maguire. Judd has only just gotten there and conducts himself superbly. Bolts is doing exactly what was expected of him, and the kids just need time. They're just kids. So seriously, Carlton fans, stick fat and enough of the meltdowns after a loss.
Can you just repeat your whackers whacking the whackers in an Elmer Fudd voice for me, though, mate? That would be absolutely sensational. That's my whackers, DT. Too many whacks.
You can never have enough whacks.
You can never have enough whacks. Okay, we'll leave that at that.
One thing I've got to say, John, is that we have people listening, because I've already been given a message while the show's on, sent me a message from the interview with Brad Cripps and says, mate, you definitely require a lot of the dirt off the Cripps farm.
Ah.
Thanks for that, Craig.
You would too, you little Ewok. It's sensational. Big voice in the little man. And, a lot of fertiliser required to get him above 5 foot, that's for sure. Look, guys, just a quick word about our next event next week against Essendon at the Empire on a Sunday. We got a couple of things going on. Look, thanks very much to Michaela for coming in today on very short notice and no rehearsal. Did a great job under pressure. But just on that, we've got a special half-time game for the kiddies for the event at the Empire, and whoever wins that will be our special guest into the studio, come in with the parents and sit in and be our special guest speaker. So next week against the Essendon, the Essendon mob, get the family down there. It is Kiddies Day. We've got lots of activities on there. And the raffle for that one is the co-signed captain's jumper signed by Sam Doherty, Patrick Cripps, comes with a certificate of authenticity from the AFL, custom framed like all the other jumpers we've had this year by our friends at Master Picture Framers. Only $5 a ticket, 3 for $10. It's the stuff we normally reserve for auctions and all of that.
Thousands.
But we don't care if we don't make any money on it. We just want people to come down and have a chance of winning something sensational. Get down to the Empire next week for the Bombers game, guys.
And there's no excuse because Monday's a public holiday.
Monday is a public holiday, and the $6 drafts always taste better when Monday's a public holiday.
Some of us have to work for a living.
Don't forget to drink and drive responsibly. Don't drink and drive responsibly. Drink responsibly. Drive if you're not drinking, and be responsible. You know what I mean.
Yes, yes, yes.
Righty-o. Okay, look, guys, that's about all we have time for today. Is there anything else you want to sneak in quickly before we... go into the stinger for our mob at Collingwood.
Just want all the Carlton supporters to stick fat and get down the Empire Bar next Sunday.
Absolutely. And I just got one more little thing because I haven't said this enough this year. It's our first year on the radio program. We've all been learning as we go. The show's going really, really well, and it wouldn't be going anywhere near as good as what it is if it hadn't have been for the support and the help from our good friends Gary Wright and Ian Hale.
Of course.
From, dare I say it.
Yes, careful.
The WA Magpies. They've come in every episode. Every show and supported us and made sure that we could bring this to you. So it's not for, I'm going to give myself a whack actually for taking anyone from Collingwood for anything. Two black eyes for that one. But Gazza, Ian, thanks for your support.
Well done,
the show's going great, and it wouldn't be if it wasn't for you guys. Well, guys, that's all we got time for today. It's been a good show. Thanks again, Michaela,
for, well done, Michaela.
For the sick Mel. Mel, we hope you're doing better on your sickie. I hope your cracked fingernails are okay. DT, thanks very much. Chris, thanks very much. To the listeners who listen every week, thank you very much. And as always,
go Blues.
Happy birthday, Ava.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous